Well, you guys, I'm so excited to continue our series, Summer Playlist. And man, we've just been all over the place looking at different things from God's Word and lifting Jesus up and letting the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts and change our lives. It's been an awesome summer. I wanted to lean today into a new thought that I haven't taught about yet this summer. I've taught about it in the past a little bit, but I want to kind of expound on it a little bit more than I ever have before. And if you were with us in March of this year, of 2022, we did a series called Get Your Passion Back. And we talked about passion and we talked about the importance of that. But really, even since that time, I've really sensed the Holy Spirit challenging me in my own life. And so I'm kind of extending a challenge to us as a family here today to really focus on passion and specifically on this word enthusiasm. And I want to talk today about enthusiasm and kind of some of the misconceptions about it and how important it really is to our life. And we're going to lean into that. And, you know, when I say the word enthusiasm, for a lot of us, we probably picture this kind of almost surface level, plasticky fake. Maybe you're not like me and you don't think about it like this, but it's kind of how I think about it sometimes, that enthusiasm is like this plasticky kind of fake thing that we do. It really isn't connected to our real life. It's really kind of something that we do to try to keep joy or try to keep a smile on our face. But enthusiasm is way more than that. And it's a very biblical idea as well. And I think it goes right down to the core of the battle for our soul, the battle for our mind, the battle for our heart, the battle for our purpose, and the battle for our destiny. And I want to talk about that today. And, you know, as you know, and as I know, because we live in this world, there are real problems. There's all sorts of things going on. Insert word in the blank here, whatever it is for you, but there's all sorts of turmoil, so much heaviness and so much challenge. And obviously we're confronted with that on a daily basis. I am confronted with that on a daily basis. Just this last week, I had someone very close to me who had a terrible medical report that came back, and we're praying and believing for healing. There's trials and challenges that confront us every single day. And so as Christians, what do we need to do with that? And again, today I want to lean us into this idea of passion and enthusiasm. And again, I've really sensed God leaning into that with me. So I want to start out and I want to define enthusiasm, because again, we have a certain concept of what it is, but enthusiasm is really actually, the word enthusiasm comes off of the root Latin words, two Latin words, in and theos. Again, we think of enthusiasm as laughing and joking maybe and surface level, whatever. Enthusiasm is in theos, which actually literally means in, which inside of you, and theos, which is God, is the Latin root word for God. So enthusiasm is not just smiling in ignoring real life. Enthusiasm literally means God in me or God in you. So when I say enthusiasm, having enthusiasm for life is important, what I'm saying is God on the inside of you in your life is important. And this starts to kind of throw a shadow and a shade on the word enthusiasm and maybe some of our misconceptions about it. But in theos means literally, I pulled the definition, it means literally to be filled, inspired, or possessed by God. It means literally God on the inside of us. And so when we say, hey, let's have enthusiasm, that isn't like, hey, let's smile. It is, hey, let's remember that God is on the inside of us animating us. Now that's kind of a weird thing to think about. So I was kind of processing and praying about something that I could share that would maybe give an analogy to it. And I actually thought about my shirt, which is an odd thing maybe to think about. But this shirt literally doesn't, if it's on a hanger, it does nothing. It just hangs there. It's not animated. It's not living. It's just a shirt. But when I'm actually in the shirt, I am animating. There's something alive that's on the inside of the shirt, that the shirt actually moves. It actually moves around. It is as the sleeves are doing things even right now. Look at this. And this shirt, I wrote in my notes, this shirt is in Scottios, in Scottios, if you want to say it like that. It is infused with Scott. It's got Scott on the inside. And this shirt is in Scottios. It is actually being animated and infused and filled up by me. And so this shirt behaves and acts differently based on the fact that I'm on the inside of it versus it hanging on a hanger in my closet and just sitting there. And you know, this idea of Scott in the shirt, or this idea of God in us, God animating us, God living on the inside of us, us going from something that is struggling and static to something that is vibrant and alive and moving in ways that we never could without something that's living on the inside of us, animating us, that's God. We see this all through the scripture, that this idea is that when we're confronted with struggle, when we're confronted with the things that we deal with in life, when we're confronted with the challenges of life, what we truly need is we need enthusiasm. We need the living God to be big on the inside of us. We need to remember that we are literally infused with, possessed by God, that God is infiltrating us. He's on the inside of us, and we are therefore enthusiastic. We are ones who are filled with God, that I would say on the inside of me, God is at work. And you could say on the inside of you, God is at work. Now, this is all through the scripture. And in Acts 18, it talks about a man named Apollos, and he's a great orator. He speaks wisdom, and he's influential, and he's inspirational. But the Bible says not only is he wise and smart and a good speaker, but the Bible actually says that he's enthusiastic, that he's a man that speaks with passion. He is a man who is infused with God. He is enthusiasm. He's Apollos, a man of passion, zeal, and enthusiasm, and therefore he is effective. As we keep looking at scripture, we see in the New Testament, Jesus's disciples are very enthusiastic. They're people of passion. I'm reminded of Peter and John and James. I'm reminded of the sons of thunder. That sounds like people that are passionate, that people that are enthusiastic, people that have some spunk to them. And again, I'm not talking about just a surface level smile. I'm not talking about putting something on. I'm talking about literally being infused, animated by, possessed by God in Theos. In 2 Corinthians 8, 7, and if you have your Bible, open it up and check this out. It says, but since you excel in everything, since you're passionate and enthusiastic about things, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 8, 7, and he says this, look, you're passionate and enthusiastic in these areas, faith, speech, knowledge, the love that we've kindled in you, in giving. He's like, look, you're enthusiastic. God is in you, kind of sparking and dwelling and animating you in these things that you're doing, faith, speech, knowledge, love, giving. They are enthusiastic in Theos. In Romans 12, 11, in the NIV, it says this, it says, never be lacking in zeal. The idea there is that enthusiasm, that in Theos, but keep your spiritual fervor. Let God animate you. That's my words, let God animate you. That's not in the scripture. Let me read the scripture. Romans 12, 11, NIV. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Let me read it to you in the Message paraphrase. It says this, don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert, servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. And to me, that is full of enthusiasm. Don't burn out. Keep yourself aflame. Keep yourself moving forward and don't burn out. Be cheerfully expectant. Now, again, when I think about enthusiasm, do you know, I was trying to think of like what kind of comes to my mind when I hear the word enthusiasm. What comes to my mind is actually my dog. My dog, her name's Ruby, and she is enthusiastic in the way that I typically think about enthusiasm. We're going to throw a picture on your screen. This is of my dog over the 4th of July holiday weekend. She's on a boat, and she is enthusiastic. She's wearing a hat and a bandana, and you can just kind of take a snapshot of that picture, and you can see the enthusiasm that she has. If you've ever been to our house, you know this, that she will run up to you and usually jump on you, which I think is bad training. But I've never trained a dog before, so hey, you know, it is what it is. But she is enthusiastic. She wakes up every morning and she comes upstairs and she is just excited about life. Now, that is enthusiasm, right? That is, she wakes up happy. She's excited. You know, her paws are full of fur. Like she's a mini golden doodle. You saw a picture of her just a moment ago, but her paws, the fur grows down into her paws. And then we have wood floors. And so she tries to run. And it's like one of those cartoons where the cartoon animals run, but then their bodies don't move with how fast their feet are going. And she'll literally, you know, run with enthusiasm and she can't move. She's enthusiastic. She's excited. She throws up and eats her own throw up. Like that sounds like a party. I mean, that is enthusiasm. If that's not enthusiasm, I mean, that's college frat party gone like to another level. But that's an expression of enthusiasm. Those are all things that are passionate. And enthusiasm includes things like that, maybe with the exception of eating your own throw up, which is not a good idea, not something you should do. But these are types of enthusiasm, but they're not the fullness of enthusiasm. And I think the danger is that when I allow myself to think about enthusiasm in terms of my dog Ruby, if I allow myself to think about enthusiasm as, well, I should just be happy when I wake up, then what I do is I actually limit what enthusiasm is, and that becomes dangerous. Enthusiasm then becomes something plasticky and surfacey. It gets relegated to kind of like a surfacey veneer over real life. And I think that's dangerous. So I think enthusiasm encapsulates the things that we normally think about with enthusiasm. But once again, enthusiasm runs much deeper and much more spiritual than just my dog Ruby being excited in the morning when she wakes up. Enthusiasm, sometimes I even think, can be or feel dishonest, because it's like, oh, well, there's really bad stuff happening. So how could I be happy and enthusiastic? We'll talk about this a little bit more in just a moment, but I don't think that's actually attention, and I'll share why. And we think about enthusiasm as an emotional luxury. Well, that's something that I wish I could do. It's something that I might do on a good day. It's something that someone else might have a characteristic or a personality trait for, but I really can't do enthusiasm because it's just not in line with what's really happening in my heart or in my mind. We think about enthusiasm like sprinkles on the ice cream, instead of thinking about enthusiasm as the nutrients that come from the meal. And I believe that today, if we accomplish nothing else in this space, I pray the Holy Spirit would prompt your heart to understand that enthusiasm is not a surface veneer over your real life, that enthusiasm is the actual substance of your real life, because enthusiasm is not a plastic smile. Enthusiasm is actually God living in you. And really, enthusiasm is not optional, it's oxygen. And enthusiasm is deeply, deeply spiritual. In Deuteronomy 28, we know that in the Old Testament, there's God's covenant with his covenant people, Israel. And Deuteronomy 28 lays out the covenant. It basically says, hey, God says, look, when you serve me, you'll be blessed. And when you wander away from me and you don't do things the way that I've set up for you, you're going to experience suffering and someone else will rule over you. Other gods will rule over you. And Deuteronomy 28 lays this all out. And so in Deuteronomy 28:1, it actually says, hey, you have a choice. You have a choice what you do with your life. You have a choice how you order yourself. And then for several verses, I think probably about 15, 18, it actually talks about the blessings that come along with choosing God. And then for the next like 20 verses, it actually talks about the anti-blessings that come if you don't choose God. And what I want you to see is that for the first 46 verses, we're confronted with choice. In Deuteronomy 28, people are confronted with choice. Choose this or choose that. It's a choice. And then in Deuteronomy 28:47, there's this really interesting, almost obscure scripture that kind of sneaks in. And it actually adds into this idea of how do we make that choice? How do we make the choice to follow God and to be blessed? And in Deuteronomy 28:47, it says this. It says, basically, I'll paraphrase the context of it, and then I'll read the actual scripture. It says, this is why you didn't choose me and why you weren't able to stay with the blessings that were coming to you. It says this, Deuteronomy 28:47, because you did not serve the Lord your God joyfully and gladly in the time of prosperity. Other translations of that scripture say that you didn't serve the Lord your God joyfully and with gladness of heart, which if you look into the Hebrew text of that, it actually is gladness and then heart, which is all the way down to the core of who you are. The idea is that you didn't serve and choose to be joyful and to have gladness in the way that you were serving God, and therefore you were unable to hold on to the decision that you wanted to make. But the premise of this is that that decision, joy and gladness of heart, that enthusiasm, it is a choice. It's something that we can choose. It's laid out for us in Deuteronomy 28. Proverbs 18:21 says this. It says, the tongue has the power of life and death. The things that we speak, the things that we choose, has the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. So you see, enthusiasm goes into how we actually live our life. It goes into the choices that we make, and it goes into the words that we speak. And these are far from ancillary. These are far from a plastic smile over our real life. These are far from sprinkles on the ice cream. This goes back to the core root of who we are as people. The choice of life and death is in the power of our tongue and of our words, and we will eat the fruit of the things that we meditate upon and that we live out of, the choices we make and the words we speak. And this is so important because enthusiasm is not just, it's not just Ruby running around on the floor, clicking around with her paws. It is actually God animating us in our lives. And yet that does put us into a different emotional and mental space with our lives. And it does look more excited. It does look more happy. Now, of course, we all have personalities and we all have ways that that will walk out, but enthusiasm is not optional. It's oxygen. So that leaves us with the rest of our time maybe asking this question. Okay, Pastor Scott, I got it. I get that enthusiasm needs to sit at the core. I get that it's God in me, animating me. It's way bigger than just being smiley. So how do I do that? What does that look like? And I would say this, there are theological foundations that are required for us to actually have true enthusiasm. And then there are also practical practices that we can do. Now, on the first hand of that, this theological underpinning or the theological foundation, I actually did a teaching on this. You can actually go back into our media and you can go to the third week of Get Your Passion Back series. It's called Tie Your Shoes. And you can listen to a talk about some of the theological underpinnings of why we are enthusiastic, why we have joy as Christians. And I am not going to reteach that message, but I will give you the points from that message as a way of reminder if you didn't listen to it, or maybe just to inspire you and encourage you to go back and listen to it again. But why are we enthusiastic? Why do we have joy? Why do we serve with gladness? Why do we have gratitude? And really the theological underpinnings of that are, I'll give you five quick points, is that God is faithful. And again, you can go back and listen to this whole sermon. I'm not going to re-preach it, but God is faithful. That's the first one. The second one is that Jesus loves and saves. So God is faithful. Jesus loves and saves. Number three is that the Holy Spirit empowers. The Holy Spirit empowers us. That's a theological reality. So God is faithful. Jesus loves us and he saves us. The Holy Spirit empowers us. The church endures is number four. The church endures. The Bible says that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church that Jesus is building. And then number five and lastly is that God's promises are true. And those are really the theological underpinnings. So let me say it like this. When you are having a bad day or a bad week or a bad month or a bad season or a bad year or a bad decade or a bad life, I don't know how far it stretches out, okay? Because the truth is we're all experiencing good and bad simultaneously. Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart because I've overcome the world. And so we're all confronted daily, weekly, monthly, and annually and with our life with these two choices, right? We're experiencing hard things, and we're also given a choice of how we live inside of those hard things. In this world, you'll have trouble, but take heart. Have enthusiasm because Jesus says, I've overcome the world. So I don't know on your bad day, on your bad week or whatever, these are the theological foundations that allow us to have enthusiasm in those things. When things are heavy for us to say, but God is good and he's working in me and my future is bright because God's at work within me, I can have enthusiasm in Theos. These are the theological underpinnings. And that's what makes enthusiasm for a Christian more than just wishful thinking or positive self-help. It's actually rooted in the truths of God and who he is in our lives, that he's animating us. So that makes sense theologically. But then practically, beyond the theological underpinning, we actually have to practice enthusiasm. We have to actually practice joy. We actually have to practice letting God animate our lives in Theos. And in Romans 12:11, I already read, but don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the master, cheerfully expectant. And so here's the thing, you guys, is that we are to keep ourselves fueled and aflame. We are to keep ourselves, and that sounds like practicing. That sounds like cultivating. That sounds like being cheerfully expectant is something that we're doing on a consistent basis, that we don't burn out, but we keep ourselves fueled and aflame, cheerfully expectant. And we do that in a lot of ways, prayer and Bible reading and worship. And I've talked about those so much, and I don't move over those quickly because they're not important. They're literally foundational practices for us. I've just taught on them so much over the last year or two, and you can go back and listen to all of those teachings. But today I wanted to just give a couple very practical things around enthusiasm with the time that we've got left, which is starting to draw to a close. But how do we practically practice enthusiasm? And I've just got three ideas for you. Number one is this, is that enthusiasm is a choice. enthusiasm is a choice. And there are things in our life that are true. And because they're true, again, remember we talked about the theological underpinning, because they're true, we have to choose them. They become a choice. They are true. And enthusiasm is a choice. Remember I talked about the tension between being enthusiastic and feeling like, well, that's not being very honest. I used to think like, well, if I'm having a bad day and I'm enthusiastic, well, that's not really honest, because the truth of it is that I'm really upset. But the veneer smile is that I'm enthusiastic. And I would just say that those are not actually those aren't accurate ways to think about that, because here's the greatest truth is this, is that God is the creator of all things. God is the one who made me, and God actually created a way in which he saved me and actually lives within me. And that my life is no longer just my life, but it is actually that I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And in a very real way, enthusiasm is the truest thing about me, that God is in me living through me. So on the hard day, for me to be enthusiastic and be reminded and remember that God is in me and working within me is actually the greatest truth that I could ever find. It's not being far from being dishonest, it's actually being the most honest. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't grieve. It doesn't mean that we're not sad. It doesn't mean that we don't cry. The Psalms are full of emotional prayers, and God is good with our emotional prayers. But what it does mean is that in the middle of my emotion and my trial and my depression and my struggle, that God is actually within me, working within me, and that enthusiasm and choosing enthusiasm is a choice to say, my God is good, and my God is within me, and my God is at work, and my God will not quit. He will not fail. He is faithful to the end, and I can trust in him. And that is the most honest thing that we can do in our lives, is that enthusiasm is a choice to align ourselves with truth. And Acts 17:28 says this, it says, for in him, that's God, we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. And that's Paul talking to the Greek theologians and philosophers. And he says this, in God, we live and move and have our being. God literally is in Theos. He's in us, and he's animating us. And it is a choice for me to align my emotions, my thoughts, my words, my decisions with that truth and that reality, because ultimately enthusiasm, God in me, it's a choice. Living that out and practicing that out is a choice. Now, I know it's a theological reality all the time, but my practice of that, keeping not burning out and keeping myself aflame, is a practice of that. And 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we live by faith, not by sight. And so on a daily basis, a weekly basis, a monthly basis, we're going to have to make a decision. We're going to have to make a choice to say, God is within me, and on the bad day, on the bad week, on the bad month, in the bad year, I choose as an act of my will to align myself with truth, the greatest truth that there is, which is God is in me, animating me, and I am going to choose to practice and walk according to that. Not to the dismissal of my emotion, not to the dismissal of hard days, not to the dismissal of trouble that Jesus promises us that we will have, but in the trouble, I will take heart because Jesus has overcome the world. And that is a choice, and enthusiasm is a choice. So on the day when we say, I feel so tired, well, that's true. But the greater truth is that God is living in you, and God never gets tired. He doesn't sleep or slumber. And Isaiah says that he is the God who actually infuses us and fills us up, that we will run and not grow weary, that we will not tire or grow faint, that we will mount up like on wings like eagles, and we will continue forward. The Bible says that with my God, I can scale a wall, I can run against a troop. And so the truth is that yes, I'm tired, but the greater truth is that God is within me, working through me, and I can remember on that day to speak and to think as a choice, as an act of my will, to walk by faith and not by sight. So I will weep, and then I will get up from weeping, and I will live with the hope and the truth that God is in me doing something great. I will grieve, and then I will get up, and I will not grieve as one who has no hope, but I will grieve as one who has the living God, the creator of all things, on the inside of me, doing beautiful, good things in my future and in the future of those around me. When I feel sad, when I feel disappointed, when I feel angry, when I feel frustrated, when I am full of sickness and disease, I will turn my attention to my God as an act of my will, because enthusiasm is a choice. It's a theological reality, but the practice of it is a daily choice to say, God, You are at work within me, and I will choose enthusiasm today. Number two is that enthusiasm is a personal cultivation. And I alluded to this already, but enthusiasm is God's work within me. And some people will say something like, well, Pastor Scott, I'm just not an enthusiastic person. It's not my personality. And let me just say this. Let me agree with you. For some of us, it's not a personality trait. It's actually God's personality within us. And Galatians 5:22 says that we live with the fruit of the Spirit on the inside of us. That see, it's the shirt can say, well, I'm not like that. But the shirt doesn't have a choice. When Scott gets in the shirt, Scott animates the shirt. And for many of us, we have limited ourselves to being a shirt on a hanger when God Almighty has said, I am living in you and animating you. And I want you to allow yourself to be animated by me. And I know it's not a perfect analogy because the shirt doesn't have a will and we do. And I get that and you get that. But the point is this, is that enthusiasm is a personal cultivation that every day we say, God, come and infuse me, and God, live through me. And again, it's a theological reality that if you are a Christian and you've received Jesus and the Holy Spirit, he's doing that. He's available for that all the time. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is the practice of personally cultivating enthusiasm in our lives every day. Enthusiasm is not a personality trait. It is God's personality within us, animating us. And Galatians 5:22, fruit of the Spirit, I was thinking about that and praying about it. And you know, it's interesting because fruit takes time. Fruit doesn't just pop off of the cherry tree like in year one. It actually, the tree has to get planted, or the seed has to get planted, and it takes years and years before the fruit even starts to show up. But even the fruit itself, even once the trees mature to be able to bear fruit, the fruit takes a full season to be able to do what it does. Fruit takes time. It takes rootedness. It takes staying, abiding into the trunk or the source. And we are called to do all of those things as Christians, to stay abiding in God, to be perseverant, to give time, to continue to practice. So enthusiasm is a personal cultivation over time, a continuation of reminding ourselves, God is at work within me. And, you know, I had the opportunity last summer to run a marathon. It was amazing. And, you know, 26.2 miles. And I've had several people that have asked me, like, man, how can you possibly run that far? That boggles the mind. And I will say that it did for me too. And what I learned was this, is that when I started training for a marathon, I actually couldn't run a mile without stopping. That's the truth. But the reality was this, is that over time, we just incrementally add a little bit of mileage. They say in runner's worlds, they say increase your mileage weekly by about 10%. And so the idea is this, is whatever you can run, increase each week by about 10%. And if you train long enough and consistently enough, what you'll find is that over a period of time, if you continue to incrementally practice running, is that you will eventually find yourself able to run further and further distances. And that's exactly what I did. And over a 16-week period, I trained for 26.2 miles. And last summer, I actually ran that marathon. It was amazing. One of the coolest things that I've ever gotten to do. And I only ran that though because of the consistency of the 16-week training plan to just go out on a daily basis. Or I didn't go every day, every week, but I ran four times a week for 16 weeks and just incrementally practice. And I think cultivating enthusiasm in our life is a little bit in the same way. What if you started today and over the next 16 weeks, you just, maybe not every day, maybe four times a week, maybe every day, you just practiced remembering that God is working in you, that he's doing something in you. What if you just started doing that? And what if you just increase that up by 10% a week? And over the next 16 weeks, I wonder if you could run kind of an enthusiasm marathon. I wonder if we could do something like that. And you know, that's kind of a challenge to us. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this. It says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And watch this. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now that sounds like a practice to me. That sounds like taking a thought and going, how does that thought fit into the reality of enthusiasm? The reality that God is living within me and he's working within my life. And what if we started to practice doing that, and we started getting consistent, and we made it a practice of personal cultivation to just do that? I wonder if we could run an enthusiasm marathon. One last quote on that before I close with point three is this. I heard someone say years ago, one of my mentors said this, said, my mind does not stay renewed any longer than my hair stays combed. And just like every day we wake up and we must brush our hair, brush our teeth, groom our bodies, we have to do that daily. In the same way, we have to actually cultivate our thoughts and our choices and our words daily. And I would challenge you to do that consistently over a period of time, because enthusiasm as a practice is a personal cultivation. And that leads me to number three is this, is that enthusiasm is built in a community focused on God. And there is a certain amount that we can personally cultivate. There's a certain amount that we can choose. Those are our first two points. But there's a certain type of enthusiasm that is going to be hard to maintain without the fellowship of other people who are trying to do the same thing. And I'm reminded as I was preparing that enthusiasm, God in me, in Theos, in me, God animating my life, is limited without being around other people who are doing the same thing. And, you know, I'm reminded as I'm on social media or as I'm, in the virtual spaces of the negativity and just the number of people that are speaking death and judgment and aggression and despair and all of these things. Man, what if we actually got ourselves around other people that said, hey, you know what? Life is hard. There is trouble we're facing, not discounting any of that. But the truth is, the greatest truth is that God is living in me and God's living in you. And what does that mean for our life? And let's practice that and walk that out together. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were actually exiled for 70 years to Babylon, and they actually fought their way to come back into Israel. And when they did, Israel was destroyed. The walls were burned. The temple had been torn down. And they came back, and they decided that they wanted to rebuild after a time of tearing down, a time of exile, a time of trial and tribulation. And I'm kind of reminded that we've been through those kind of trials and challenges. Obviously, probably not to this level. None of us were physically exiled into enemy territory. But we are coming back from a season trying to find our mojo. And that's exactly what these guys were doing too. Coming back, trying to find their mojo to build once again. And I want to read you out of the book of Haggai, chapter 1. I'm going to read a couple verses, verse 5 and 6 and 9. It says this, now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you're not warm. You earn wages, but you put them in a purse with holes in the bottom. Verse 9, you expected much, but you see it turn out to be little. What you brought home got blown away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty, because of my house, which remains a ruin while each of you is busy with your own house. Now, the theological part of this is God is challenging them to rebuild the corporate church while they're kind of all attending to their own personal houses. That's an entirely different sermon. But the note that I want to pull out of this is that God is making a point to them. He says, look, you're trying to come back and you're trying to figure out how to get your life going again. And he's like, he's identifying the problem. He's like, look, you're planting, but you're not really harvesting. And he's like, look, you're eating, but you're not satisfied. You're drinking, but you're still thirsty. You're making money, but it never seems to be enough. And as I was reading this, I literally felt like, man, this is our year. This is our life. This is like what we're dealing with. So what do we do? What happens? How does this work? And I love if you keep reading ahead in verse 14. It says this, as they sought the Lord and they called out to him and they prayed to him and they asked of him to come in and to help them rebuild their life and also rebuild the temple, rebuild the corporate life of the church. And this is what happened. Haggai 1:14. So the Lord sparked the enthusiasm. I like that. I don't know if you caught that or if that does anything to jump in your spirit, but the Lord sparked the enthusiasm of Zerubbabel. He sparked the enthusiasm of Zerubbabel. And then as you keep reading, it says, and the enthusiasm of Joshua and the enthusiasm of the whole remnant of God's people. They began to work on the house of their God, the Lord of heaven's armies. With enthusiasm, they came back from exile and from a place of eating but not being satisfied and drinking but still being thirsty and earning but not having enough and never being satisfied. They actually stepped in and they asked God to come in and do something new. And it says God, the Spirit of God, sparked an enthusiasm in them individually and corporately. And they actually, from that place of enthusiasm, God in them, in Theos, they actually went and they laid the foundation for the new temple, the new place where God and mankind mankind would actually encounter one another face to face. And I believe that we have the same opportunity today. And Element Church, I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to me. God has been speaking to me. I'm speaking to you. He's speaking to you. This is the time for us to remember the theological foundations of why we are an enthusiastic people. And it is the time for us to take up a new mantle of practicing, to say, yes, we know theologically, God, you are in us, but the way we live our lives is a choice. We choose it, we cultivate it personally, and corporately we come together and we ask you, God, to spark our enthusiasm, to do the work that's before us so that we do not eat without satisfaction and drink while still being thirsty and work and plant without harvest. And so, God, would you spark our enthusiasm as a people? God, would you remind us of how to practice in theos? With enthusiasm, they laid the foundations and they rebuilt the temple, the place of worship for God's community, the place where his presence could dwell. And that's my prayer for us, and that's my prayer for you, is that enthusiasm would be sparked in our life in a new way. I'll close with this scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58. It says this, it says, but thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. And then watch this, always work enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever in vain. And I just want to speak that over you today. And I want to pray over us, just for those of us that are discouraged, for those of us that are tired. Look, those are real things. And we're not diminishing that. We're not saying that's not true. We're just saying there's a greater truth. And the greater truth is that God is living in you. And if God is not living in you, if you are not yet a Christian, if you've never received Jesus, in just a few moments, I'm going to pray. I'm going to lead in a prayer where you can make that commitment. Before we do that, I just want to pray a general prayer over us. And I want to pray for enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is not optional. It's oxygen. It's not the sprinkles on the ice cream. It is the substance in our main meal. Let me pray that over us for three things. Enthusiasm is a choice, enthusiasm is a personal cultivation, and enthusiasm is in community. It's corporate community focused on him. And I want to just pray those three things over us this morning. So if you would, wherever you are, even open your hands like you're receiving something, and let me just speak a blessing and a prayer over you. Father, I pray right now for your people, for your sons and daughters. God, I pray specifically, God, that you would infuse us afresh with your enthusiasm. Just like in the book of Haggai, you sparked the enthusiasm of Zerubbabel. And God, I pray right now that you would spark enthusiasm in your people. I pray you would spark enthusiasm over your sons and daughters. And we know that it's a theological reality, but God, I pray right now, God, that you would just spark the awareness of us, God, to remember in theos, enthusiasm, that you are in us. And God, I pray that in practice, we would make a choice. It's a choice. It is walking by faith and not by sight. It is a choice to say, the truest thing is, God, that you are living in me. So I pray right now that the truest thing over your sons and daughters would be that you are living in them today, right now. God, in every situation and circumstance that they are dealing with and struggling with, God, I pray your enthusiasm in there, in theos, that they would choose you today, the way they speak, the way they think, the way they operate. God, that enthusiasm, you would be animating them. And that they would be practicing that as a choice. And God, that it would be personally cultivated. God, that they would find the little places in life, God, where they can begin to personally cultivate gratitude, personally cultivate joy, personally cultivate the reality that you are in them and that you are working in them and that you are doing good things in them. So God, I pray that over them right now, that personal cultivation. I pray, Holy Spirit, right now that you would be speaking specific things to each one about what they can do to cultivate enthusiasm in their daily life. And then God, I pray for our corporate community. God, I pray that you would be moving in a new way. I pray you would be sparking our enthusiasm, stirring up our passion, calling us back to purpose in a fresh way. And God, I pray over Element Church. I pray over the church, capital C church as a whole. And God, I pray that you would be doing your work, that you would be animating your church. And God, that it would be in theos in a fresh way. God, that we would be working enthusiastically for you and that you would allow us to rebuild the foundations of the place where your people can worship you. And so God, I thank you for that today. I thank you for the truth and the reality of you living in us, that it's in you that we live and move and have our being. And I thank you for that today. And God, I just pray for anybody who's never started a relationship with you before. I pray right now, God, for everyone within the sound of my voice that would want to commit their life to you or recommit their life to you in a fresh way. They're struggling. If they just feel far from you, guys, pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, thank you for who you are. I believe you're the Son of God. And I believe you came to rescue me from my sin and to redeem me from the struggles of my own life. I don't want to live my life for myself anymore. I don't want to live in my own wisdom and my own power and my own strength. God, I surrender to you. I make a confession that you are my Lord and Savior. And I ask you to come in and to live in me, to in theos, to dwell within me and to change the way I see life. Overarchingly, God, come in and invite me into those theological realities. And God, invite me into the practice of remembering or learning for a first time that you are the one that is dwelling within me. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, awesome, you guys. What a cool morning together. Just believing that the Holy Spirit's going to continue to speak to us and continue to do work in us in this area of enthusiasm, in theos, God within us. And I want to let you know, if you prayed that prayer with us for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. Text the keyword element to 97,000 and fill out that form. Let us know that you prayed that prayer. If you need anything, let us know. We'll do whatever we can do for you. If you need a Bible, get involved in a good Bible-believing church. We like this one, and we want to invite you to join us at Element Church. And you can join us here in this space, or you can join us in East Lansing on Sunday mornings. All the information's at our website, theelement.church. And we just want to say, man, what a cool, amazing, life-altering and eternity-altering decision that you just made. It's like all of your sins on the calculator. It's like it was the clear button was struck this morning and you get a fresh start with God. How cool is that? Best decision that you'll ever make. And the Bible says there are angels rejoicing in heaven right now because of the decision that you made. For everybody else, just want to say, hey, let's move into a time of worship. Let's continue to let the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. And I just want to say, two questions. Number one, what is the Holy Spirit speaking or stirring in you right now? And number two, what's the thing you need to do this week because of it? Guys, let's move into a time of worship and let's continue to just worship Jesus together as we listen for the Holy Spirit's voice, specifically in this area of enthusiasm, in theos, God within us. Have an amazing week. We love you guys. We'll see you back next week.